Hey, I'm Eric Dethridge.
And I'm Danielle Webster. Welcome back to another episode of Prairie Beat,
our weekly news podcast from the newsroom of Prairie Public. Well, Danielle, we're still here a day later. We're around. I am seeing you across from me.
Yes. And
I think that's somewhat of a miracle. How you doing right now?
I'm a little fried today, I'm not going to lie. There's, of course, a lot of news happening here in North Dakota, but as many people also know, of course, there has been a lot happening abroad as well. So, yeah, just a little tired today.
Yeah, I think that's what everybody's feeling, a little whiplash from all the news that went on yesterday. And I don't know, I just kept thinking of Elaine Bennis in Seinfeld when she's, like, misquoting War and Peace. The conflict in Iran, as we know, it's been escalating for weeks. Mm-hmm. And yesterday, I think many of us were looking to see what exactly was going to happen in Iran last night. We were all holding our breath. I mean, how could you not? How could the world not? After the president posted on a social media account that, quote, an entire civilization will die, end quote. And that's like 93 million people that he's referring to. And he had imposed that infamous now 8 p.m. deadline. Sophie had to kind of explain simply what happened. Could you give it a try, Danielle?
Okay, yeah. So since the U.S. began its strikes in Iran, a big discussion has been oil tanker traffic through the Strait of Hormuz, which I admittedly haven't even heard about until 6 weeks ago. But that is where 20% of the world's oil travels through. And that has caused a lot of oil and energy problems all over the world since it's been basically blocked, and higher prices here, of course, as well, as you've been looking around, probably buying gas and whatnot. The traffic through the strait had pretty much stopped. And the president, of course, he does not like that. He's been trying to force Iran to agree to allow those ships to go through. And of course, that culminated with a pretty frantic and aggressive post he made on Easter Sunday. And then again yesterday morning, he posted, as you just mentioned, quoting now, an entire civilization will die. And then last night, roughly an hour or two before that 8 p.m. deadline, the leaders in Pakistan proposed a 2-week pause or ceasefire. And then Iran presented basically a 10-point plan to the president in which, you know, he has yet to fully agree to it, but he did agree to not carry out those 8 p.m. strikes he was posting about.
Pete Hegseth had a news conference at the Pentagon, and I think they're all kind of declaring this as a victory. But, yeah, we shall see.
Yeah, I guess. And, you know, we don't really write many stories like this, that's for sure. But what we do think about is, you know, how do we localize stories for all of you here at home? So one thing I did yesterday as all of this was kind of going on and we were waiting to find out what was going to happen, I did write to Senator Kevin Cramer's office. He sent us, you know, the delegation sends us emails with what they're doing. So I just replied asking for comment about the president's social media posts. Mm-hmm. And his office did respond later yesterday. I can read a little bit of what he wrote if you would like to hear it.
Oh, absolutely. I would love to hear this.
So quoting now, here is part of his statement, quoting, President Trump's strategy is his own. If the cruel, unelected rulers of Iran are stupid enough to think President Trump is bluffing, I hope they are prepared to meet their maker.
Okay. And now, that was before the ceasefire was called, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay. So did anyone else in our congressional delegation have a comment?
We have not heard anything from Congresswoman Julie Fedorchuk's office as of right now, and Senator John Hovind has not sent us a statement either, but he was in Wheatland yesterday for an agreement and announcement about Grand Farm's role in testing and development and developing new ag technology. And our colleagues over at KVRR News, they were there, and they asked him about the president's comments.
All right. What did Senator John Hovind have to say?
He told them that the entire objective of the United States' action in Iran is to save the Iranian people's lives from the current oppressive regime. And he also added that Europe should step up and join the United States in that fight.
All right. So the Iran deal or ceasefire or whatever it's being called right now, I guess. What exactly is going on with that? It's a 10-point plan. That sounds nice and all correct. But what's that about?
So the leaders in Pakistan were able to get Trump to agree to call off the strikes. And then Iran presented this plan. It includes some pretty basic things like they guarantee Iran is not going to be attacked again. They want a permanent end to the war, ending all regional fighting against Iranian allies. And they also asked for Israel to agree to end strikes in Lebanon, which, as far as I can tell today, that has not happened.
No, they're bombing southern Lebanon as we speak. Yep.
And they also asked for the lifting of U.S. sanctions on Iran. And then pretty much half of the plan has to do with Iran's requirements for the Strait of Hormuz that we were talking about a little bit ago. The plan says Iran would open the strait. They would impose a $2 million fee on each ship that passes through. And then they'd be sharing those fees with the country of Oman. And for they would be using those fees like for reconstruction instead of reparations. And then Iran would also provide rules for safe passage through the strait. So they're asking for a lot, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I won't say a ransom, but like a tax to go through the Straits of Hormuz, a protection racket, if you will. Sounds very mafia-like. So has the Trump administration agreed to any of this or in principle?
Not quite yet. So this is a pretty tenuous situation that is very fluid. It's changing by the hour. And as I mentioned a bit ago, Israel has continued to carry out those strikes in Lebanon, and the skies are still pretty active over there. So, yeah, there's some talks that still need to happen.
Yeah, we should stress this 10-point agreement by no means has been fully ratified or agreed to in any way yet.
Yes.
So, Danielle, has any of the delegation had anything to say since those strikes were called off last night?
Yes. So Senator Kramer sent out a full statement to the media, and he provided some audio commentary as well. He commended the president and says he is showing the world that the United States is the strongest nation in the world and that Iran will not have a nuclear weapon.
And so it's really through his efforts that the U.S. not only secured a temporary ceasefire, but more importantly, I think obtained a commitment from Iran to reopen the Strait of Hormuz. That has been his short-term goal in recent days, and it's an important goal, and it affects a lot of people, and not just the United States, but it affects our Middle East friends and certainly Europe, and it'd be nice if they start helping out a little more, and I suspect that they probably will after seeing another successful negotiation by the president.
He also said it's important to keep our eyes wide open because Iran has not been reliable in the past.
Yeah, I think that part is certainly true. Lots of deals have been scuttled over the years. Difficult questions, no doubt, on the minds of pretty much everybody paying attention to this, and how could you not? So is this plan a good thing? Will it work? And how will this all play out? Because stuff in the Middle East is rarely resolved easily.
Yeah, that's unfortunately anyone's guess at this point, honestly. I read some reporting by NBC News earlier today that said the president thinks Iran's proposal is, quote, workable to negotiate. And those talks may start this week on Friday. And one other thing I will say, it was about 6 months ago now, I think, when we did an episode where I talked to Dr. Sean Brotherson over at NDSU and about the stress from consuming news and how it can negatively impact us. So if anybody remembers that episode, I remember him talking about how it's not healthy or helpful, really, to consume all the information about everything all at once. So all that to say, there is a lot of stuff going on right now. It seems like it's changing every time you look, because it is. Mm-hmm. And that is what Middle East conflict is like, honestly. So if I could offer anything else today, again, this is a fluid situation. It's stressful. It's confusing. And I think the play-by-play drip of information is probably less beneficial than the entire picture to pay attention to.
Yeah. So in other words, no doom scrolling on this 24/7. Although I'd say you and I are both extremely guilty of that.
So bad.
Yeah. Take our own advice there.
Yes.
Well, it is important to remember too, especially looking back at points in our history. I mean, imagine if everyone everywhere was getting a minute by minute update on the Civil War, WW2, even the Cuban Missile Crisis. I mean, that kind of those that went through that must have felt a little tinge of that yesterday. And me as a child of the 80s, I mean, the nuclear angst when,
yes.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, if you say something about nuclear war and you're deadly serious about it, which seemed to be the case last night, and we were reading between the lines, it just brings you back to the 80s where even like a miscalculation, a joke, an off-colored remark could get, you know, fingers to be a little bit itchy on the trigger in places like the former Soviet Union. And so, like, it brings a lot of us back there. And you know, I know you guys in the newsroom watch this stuff all the time, and you're doing your best to help us understand it all here in North Dakota, but it must be quite stressful as a news person just to be immersed in everything.
It's a lot. It's a lot. Yeah.
It's a lot, and we all need some self-care breaks, I think, at this point. All right, let's bring it back to the Peace Garden State. Danielle, what else is happening in North Dakota.
I don't think it's too off base to say that this executive order wasn't created with North Dakota in mind.
North Dakota's Secretary of State Michael Howe talked to Dave this week about the president's executive order on mail-in ballots.
We have for the mayor, city commission, and park board this year.
And speaking of ballots, lots of people will be on the ballot this summer in the city of Fargo's elections. And there has been some more measles cases confirmed in the state. Ransom County, as of today, has confirmed 6 cases so far. The state's total to date is 32, which is not far off from last year's total of 36.
Okay, the measles is a story that keeps on giving. And the Fargo mayoral race, it's getting pretty hot. Thanks for bringing that all down for us today, Danielle.
You bet. Be sure to tune in to Prairie Public for more news or check us out online at news.prairiepublic.org.
All right, sounds good. Thank you for joining us today for another episode of Prairie Beat. I am Eric Dethridge.
And I'm Danielle Webster. We'll see you on the beat next week.